Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Hi, I'm Rob Schneider.
And I'm Kevin David Thomas.
And happy Throwback Thursday.
It's that time of the week again.
It's that time of the week, time of the year,
time of the...
I don't know. I just made that
up.
Oh,
I was just going with you.
Oh, but I loved it. Oh, thanks for grooving with me. Thanks for grooving.
Anytime I can get you to sing, Rob, I'm a happy man.
Nobody wants to hear it.
This guy does.
Oh, God bless you. If you've got requests for my new album, Rob Sings Rodgers and Hart.
Rob Sings Robert Goulet.
Rob Sings Robert Rob Sings Sergio Franchi.
Sergio.
Sergio. I'm so sorry. I mispronounced
it. No, it's okay.
It. I hope he's not
angry
at me.
Not like I have four albums of his at home.
I know. Hey, listen, when are you going to invite me over so I can play with your album collection?
I know. We've got to like have a little show and tell.
Yeah, this is crazy.
I know.
I've known you now for years and I've never seen to your apartment.
Because I put a picture of like four of like the weird cast albums I have, like Preppies, Zenda, and a couple others.
What is Preppies?
Preppies is this, you know what?
It looks like an 80s musical.
It is an 80s musical. It was like off Broadway, yeah. And I just love the album cover so much. It's a weird old.
Is it a crocodile or an alligator?
Yeah, like preppy, like the Lacoste symbol.
Oh,
you know what
and
I mean?
He's oh, I see.
I think I don't know. I need to get back to you. Maybe it's a favorite thing.
You're right,
but probably. Not.
And he's wearing like that upturned 80s collar, which I'm obsessed with.
Yeah, he's like a douchebag.
Yeah.
Not that if you have your collar upturned, you're a douchebag.
I'm literally putting my collar down.
Unless you're on a yacht, you are.
Yes, get off your yacht. Hey, something really exciting. Well. We got a lot of great listeners who tweeted at us saying, hey, we want to hear your responses to the 2017 Tony Awards.
The Tony Awards, which we watched together.
We watched together, which was really nice.
It was
our first Tony ceremony together. It's an important moment in a podcast life.
Yeah.
When that happens.
It's been over a year.
And we got to watch it together.
Yeah.
But we should tell our listeners that we record some of these favorite things like in a continuous day because of our schedules.
This is true. We do a couple of days.
Time kind of goes by before we have a chance
to We pretend like we don't record them all in one day. Like we're going to record four after this, but we're going to act like that was all like what every week, but yeah, the Tony Awards were a couple weeks ago, and we have yet to actually discuss it.
So let's talk about it.
Man, they were interesting with a capital I.
So what did you think of the opening number? First of all, what do you think of Kevin Spacey as a host?
Right,
I should ask
so
you that.
I will say that first and foremost, I go into it these days wanting to like it, as opposed to sitting back thinking, not that some people do this, but maybe being like, well, what's this all about? And I actually, and you guys couldn't see, but I had my hand on my hip and I was sassy for a minute, but
like a teapot.
I really like a teapot, but I really, I wanted to like it. So like you go into a new musical, you're like, ah, this is great. This is great. This, what's going on? What is happening? So that's sort of my experience with the Tony Awards. I really thought A for effort. I thought that he, I liked that they made a joke about, you know, the fact that he was not asked first. Yeah. I thought that he could sing way better than I thought that he was going to sing.
He could sing. Wasn't right? that exciting?
And I thought that, you know, with his stone, you know, he's kind of got a straight face kind of look. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was fine. Is it the best Tony Awards opening that ever happened? No. But is it the worst? No.
No.
You know? And so I had a good time. I thought I need to watch it again now that I'm a little sober, but I would like to see it again.
We were having a good time that night.
We did have a nice time.
How did you do in terms of your ballot?
I had 4 wrong total, I think.
You're much better than I. I was really bad.
But the ones I had wrong were the ones that everybody had wrong. Like I did not expect the gentleman from Oslo to win Best Featured Actor.
Yeah.
I think there was another. There was a designer that I was definitely way off on. But overall, I enjoyed. I had a great time watching.
Good.
I think the reason why we had a good time is because there's no guarantee on who was going to win some of those categories.
Wasn't that exciting?
Yeah. So like Laurie Metcalf, like I was on the edge of my seat because I thought, I hope it's her, and it was. You know?
We thank God for that because that performance was brilliant. Did you see
it? Brilliant. Yes.
Did you get to see it? Yeah.
Loved it. Absolutely. Whoa. I had the best time watching.
Oh, she was so good.
So special.
I loved watching I think I mentioned this in the last podcast. I love watching A Doll's House Part 2 because I was sitting behind a bunch of theater students who only know her as Sheldon's mom. Not even Aunt
Jackie. Not even Roseanne, which I watched recently. So fucking funny. Come
on, how great is Roseanne? That's a whole other conversation.
When they get high, that episode is the best episode. She's like, is this real life? So good.
Where she's in the bathtub and she's like, am I shrinking?
Yes.
my favorite Laurie Metcalf acting moment is, do you remember the episode where their father passes away and they have to call everyone?
I love when you tell this story.
And she speaks to the deaf aunt and she's like, I just want to let you know that dad passed. He's gone. He's dead. He's fine. He sends his love.
But she gets elevated.
She gets so elevated. She's a genius actress.
So it's fun to watch students then. The students were in front of you and it was probably.
Thank you for getting me back on track because I was going to go off on a whole other tangent.
I know.
Thanks.
We're good at our tangents.
You know where I go. It was so fun watching these students who only know her as Sheldon's mom. I mean, their jaws were literally on the floor. So surprised that television actors are good actors every once in a while.
Yeah, especially if they cut their teeth at the Steppenwolf. I mean, come on.
God, if you go back and look at some of those clips of her at Steppenwolf.
Really?
They've got a whole bunch up online.
Oh,
now.
Wow. I never thought to do that.
Yeah, there's some really, really good stuff of her out there. So she was really incredible. And what do we think about the performances themselves? There was a complaint.
Rob, they were weird. We try not to in this. And listeners, I think you'll understand this. But we tried to like toe the line with putting our own commentary and keeping things positive. This is a celebration, our podcast, I think. That being said, some of those choices, producers, what were y'all thinking? I mean, the falsettos, I know you wanted to include everybody, but that was the song you picked.
Yeah.
Miss Saigon, I love you. Richard, we've had Richard 30,000 times on our podcast. I mean, what, why? And then other people like my wife, Sutton, who is not a musical theater aficionado, well, the Tony's open and she's like, why does he have a cast on his arm? What does that mean? You know?
Yeah.
And so it is a fine line that the Tony Awards have to cater to the people who know what's going on and then cater to the audience in America who may have no idea what Dear Evan Hansen is.
Or the fact when he moved the cast from his arm to his leg, the idea that Andy Carl is injured.
Which is such an insider joke, which I found, I was on the floor laughing.
It was so funny. It was so clever.
And yet, are we alienating people or are we being inclusive? It's a tough little balancing act.
Just on the End Scene Theater podcast talking about the Tony Awards.
What's it called again?
End Scene Theater podcast.
Cool.
And we'll retweet it. It's a new podcast started a while back ago. They're really fantastic.
Like End Sync, but End Scene?
And there's a scene.
Gotcha.
Not end, like it's conclusion.
Like when you're like in acting class, and you're like, and scene.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Yep.
And we were talking, thank you for that.
Yep.
We were talking about the Tony Awards themselves. And I was saying, and I don't know if this is true or not, the Tonys have an identity crisis. The awards themselves, which is it a celebration of the New York theater community, or is it a three-hour commercial for Broadway shows? And I think when they try to make it one, when they try to stand in the middle, I don't think it's at its most successful. I think it just needs to make up its mind. Go ahead, sorry.
And you're right, because the times there are a change in with social media and with the way that we can reach out to each other. It's not like when you and I go on, like we do, go to YouTube and watch the 60s or 1870s Tony Awards, which back then, I mean, I feel like it was a celebration of the theater for the theater community.
Well, in order to like fit in all of these musical, and first of all, I feel like the Tony Awards now are like, it's about the musicals, and sorry, great plays, you're going to have to do something else for a little bit.
Yeah, Paula Vogel, you can stand center stage and talk about your play for 35 seconds, and that's it.
And then leave.
And I mean, get out.
But hey, thank God this time they actually even brought the playwrights on to at least hear them talk. Do you remember in the 80s, they used to do little scenes from the plays? And they said they got rid of them because people were confused. I think if you set them up correctly.
Well, and there was that one year they did it kind of weird where they all sat in like a V on stage. Do you remember that year?
Yeah.
And they were like, they just went down the line. That was confusing. That was a little weird, you know?
It was in the early 90s when they were like, they tried to show you scenes from Best Plays as if it was like an actor's process.
Totally.
And they're like, this is the table read.
Nobody wants to.
And at the table, and then we'll do a scene from Sisters Rosenzweig.
It's like where a talk back. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear an actor talk about that kind of stuff.
Nobody cares. Nope. But show us do a setup and show us 2 minutes, either in B-roll footage or have them come out and do it.
Right. It doesn't have to be live. It could be.
But that means that's time we take away from the Rockettes.
But like, you know, that was pay to play. You know?
I mean, you have to know, is it a celebration of theater? And if it is a celebration of the year, you've got to let these designers talk. You've got to let these orchestrators and these choreographers, you've got to show them in the broadcast. First, and Lifetime Achievement, not to air Lifetime Achievement. And I can kind of understand if the Lifetime Achievement might be somebody that's a little bit more, you know, related to the theater. This is James Earl Jones. Everyone knows James Earl Jones. Let the man speak. Let him speak on television. He deserves it.
He deserves it. The community deserves it. I could not agree more with you on that regard.
You know what might be a great idea? Can we make the Tonys two nights? Then on Saturday night, we show all the clips. We do all the music and dancing we want. And then on Sunday night are the awards where people can talk.
Right.
It might be a little boring, but at least that way people are appreciated. So Tony Awards, what are you? And what did our listeners think? But on the positive side, let's talk about some positive things. Mm-hmm. If Bandstand ticket sales spiked, Jill Biden came out, which was great. So congrats to Bandstand.
Love seeing that. Love seeing her.
It was really great to see David Hyde Pierce. I want to give a lot of credit to David Hyde Pierce. Everybody wanted Bette Midler to come out and sing from Hello Dolly.
Right.
And she didn't, for whatever reason. She and the producer came to some sort of agreement. That was not going to happen. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And David Hyde Pierce came out and sang a song that was cut. And what I admire most about David Hyde Pierce, the true pro that he is, he knows that everyone there wanted to see someone else. And he still comes out and he still delivers.
Right.
And a cut song was preserved on television and everybody got to see it.
Right.
I'm very happy about that. And it is in the production and he is wonderful in it. And I thought he did such a great job as Horace Van de Gelder.
Love that.
So that made me happy.
Amen.
And great job, Kevin Spacey, singing and dancing up a storm. I said to you, I want to miss Harold Hill. And I want to go on a time machine and see him as Pal Joey.
Oh, that's a good
Wouldn't
one.
He be a great Pal Joey?
Oh, yeah. I was truly shocked at his singing.
Yeah.
You know, when Stephen Colbert came on and Kevin Spacey sang Circles Around Stephen Colbert, you know, Stephen Colbert has been in a Sondheim show at the Avery Fisher Hall. I mean.
Absolutely.
So like, damn, you better sing, Kevin.
Do you think Kevin Spacey could do Sweeney Todd?
No.
No. Okay.
Could. Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. But that's a lot.
Is that too much for him?
I feel like he needs like a featured, like not too, like not too much, not Pseudolus, but Hysterium.
Oh.
Not literally those two, but I'm using that as an example.
Yes.
Like maybe not like the, but, or maybe, I don't know. Music Man's a good one. Like Robert Preston roles. I can see that.
Mac and Mabel.
Mac.
Okay.
Now that would be good.
What if we just spice it up and we say Kevin Spacey's
Kev.
Mac.
Kev.
And
will you please do Mac and Mac and Mabel?
And Audra McDonald is Mabel Normand. Yes.
Really?
Yes. Why not? I think she'd be brilliant. Who do you want? Annalee Ashford?
Actually, that's good.
That's good. Really good. If anyone steals this idea, that's fine. Just give us opening night tickets. Mm,
exactly. Scott, call me. Scott Rudin.
Scott Rudin. Scott Rudin, can you help us out?
I'll help out.
Can you hook us out? So what a great... Okay, so those were the Tonys. Those were our opinions.
I thought it was a great night. It's a great celebration. It was some interesting choices for the musical numbers. But that being said, you know, 20 years from now, when the young Rob and Kevin are looking back at the old, you know, 2017 Tony Awards, it's cool that they get to see some wacky numbers that normally aren't preserved.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
Some weird stuff that you're like, all right, well.
I'm just so curious how some of those decisions were made. Like, for example, did you see Groundhog's Day?
Groundhog Day. Yes,
I did the same thing.
I did see it.
But do you think that number on the Tonys represented that show at all?
Not at all.
The show is so frenetic. Yep. The show is in constant motion and quirky. I'm thinking that if you are trying to sell the show, why did you pick this ballad?
Right.
Although it did give the guy who plays the mayor a chance to get a couple of funny lines out. That's on TV. True. Please forgive me. I forgot his name, and I think he is so funny in the show. Natasha Pierre.
That was cool.
Did a great job. Yeah. Fun circus-like environment. Okay, yeah. Great.
And especially in that space.
Jeez. Oh my gosh, right? Radio City. That's amazing. Well, I like that that whole cast was able to adapt to the passerelle. But
praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Kevin, what is your favorite
raindrops
thing?
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. That was me. That was my transitional music to the actual
favorite thing.
Guts of our podcast.
I like when you do transitional music. That's a new thing for you. I haven't seen that before. That's great. I didn't know we got transitions.
Yeah, you know, we're transitioning right now.
Okay, great. I'm ready to transition. Let's go.
All right. Favorite thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a book. This book is called On the Sunny Side of the Street, Life
hey,
Lyric.
Big Spender.
The Life and Lyrics of Dorothy Fields on the Sunny Side of the Street. It's by one Deborah Grace Winer. Now, Deborah Grace Winer, you may be familiar to you. She's written a couple books. I'm actually reading one right now that's like, she wrote in like the 90s about musical theater artists from like 50 years earlier. It's kind of like that book, Making It on Broadway, where they talk about the last 50 years.
Yes.
It's called Sing Out Louise, and it's about their experiences. So this is a book she wrote. Now, she literally a week ago just stepped down from being the artistic director of the 92nd Y Lyric and Lyricist series.
Yes.
The American
Songbook
series. Yeah, that's correct. I don't know. I look forward to what she's going to do next. I think she's a great curator of our art. She's also a playwright and author, clearly, of this book. It is a biography of Dorothy Fields. I would not say it's a biography in the sense, and this is absolutely no disrespect to Miss Winer, but it's not like the Meryl Seacrest Sondheim biography where it goes so in depth that you like know all the little details about Sondheim. It gives you a sort of I don't want to say cliff notes because that sounds mundane, but it gives you a sort of general biography. But included, every single page of this book has photos, has notes on the shows that she did. There'll be a section every like four pages that'll be a lyric sheet of everything from the very beginning of her career to the end of her career.
Oh, wow.
Reaching back all the way to, you know, when she collaborated with Jimmy McHugh. They did a lot of songs together. And so And then they also have, it sort of chronicles her life. And the way what I like about it is that it does it by years. So it'll say like 1915 to 1924, and then it's 1925 to 1930, whatever. So you go through these chapters of Miss Field's life and really see what a pioneer she was. Other than like Carolyn Lee, what other female writers were there out there?
Yeah.
And she does make a point of saying, you know, this is a woman who was doing something that no other women were doing really in her time period. And so she does totally recognize that. And like, Dorothy, sound like someone fun. Like, you wanted to go to Beverly Hills in the 40s and go hang out in her like pad and party at the pool with her and drink and, you know, and then go make a movie. And then, you know, it really paints a fun picture of this woman. But she had to fight for it. She had to really work her ass off.
I'm surprised nobody made like a biopic of her life.
I agree. And then people we've talked to that we've interviewed that knew her. I
mean, yeah.
Leroy would tell us stories about, you know, like, oh, Dorothy, would she go to the bar and have a drink? Because she was known towards the end of her life to be a bit of a drinker. And no wonder, because she had done so much and she had a lot going on in her world. The book is cool because, if you can find it, they also put sheet music covers in there, so you see old sheet music.
Oh.
They put the program notes of, like, for instance, she was there for the opening of Radio City Music Hall, and included in this book is the program from the opening, the inauguration of Radio City Music Hall. So you see all of the acts that played. She performed with Jimmy McHugh, one of their songs. All these other people were there, old vaudeville acts and stuff like that. And then you get these song lists of all the shows that she did. So, like, shows that not even Sweet Charity or Seesaw, but we're talking, or Annie Get Your Gun, which she was a lyricist of, Stars in Your Eyes, Let's Face It, Something from the Boys, Mexican Hayride, all of that kind of stuff. They even put the cast list of Seesaw, because Seesaw, they famously changed the whole show out of town.
Yeah.
Well, she has like the Detroit cast list, which has like 20 people, and then the New York cast list with six principals.
Yeah.
They really cut it down. It's a fun book, and it's a fun read. And if anyone doesn't know a single thing about Dorothy Fields, I think this is a great introduction to appreciate what a strong, fierce woman this lady was. And really, and her voice grew as she got older, and she always stayed hip.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I think because I think we talked about that in the last podcast, which was she changed her words as time progressed.
Totally.
And a lot of lyricists, let's be honest, they don't.
No.
They stay stuck and time passes them and they're still using a vocabulary from 30 years ago.
And she was never poetic or cute just to be cute. She always served the character, the situation, what was going on in the story. That's what she cared about. And I think it shows in her lyrics. And you can see in the book, because the book has all of these lyrics in there from, you know, Let's Face It all the way to Seesaw. You see the same caliber of work.
Look at Nobody Does It Like Me from 1973. Then go all the way back and look at The Way You Look Tonight from 1935, 36.
Perfect example.
And you go, this is the same person. Yeah, she changed as the times changed, and not a lot of other lyrics can do that, and she does not get the credit she deserves.
She doesn't!
And this book is going to change that.
Yes,
I love that.
The book came out, I mean, the book isn't from the 90s. I mean, it's been out for a little bit. And I would look, a little interesting side note on this book. So I was at this bookstore, and I'm like, I find the book, and I think, wow, I've never seen this book before. I open it up, it's signed, right? And the writer, Deborah
Weiner?
She signs it. To Howard Kissel.
What?
Reviewer from the Daily News. And in the book, as a bookmark, is his mail with his Central Park West address on it. It's a piece of mail from Sotheby's estate for the Bernstein auction. And that's the bookmark in the book. And then she says, you know, dear Howard, hope you enjoy. Hugs and kisses, you know, Deborah.
Oh,
Weiner.
My God.
I just thought that's a really fun little, you know, random anecdote. So when you're reading it, you're thinking, oh, my God, Howard Kissel.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
oh,
it's kind of fun.
I love that.
Yeah, and I liked the.
did you go knock on the door and see who's living there now?
I was thinking about it, but no, it didn't work out. Joan Copeland opened up and she said, go away.
Go away. You're too early. That's what she said. He opened the door and Lee Adams was like, you guys again? Yes, Lee.
Sorry, Lee. We just wanted to talk to you about your shows.
I want to talk to you, Lee. I want to talk to you about a singer that I have discovered. She is my favorite thing, and I feel really behind because apparently everybody knows about how brilliant she is or remembers how brilliant she is. And
Nancy Lamont.
Yep. Yep. Nancy Lamont.
I'm so happy.
Nancy Lamont, who I am so fascinated by. When we had our interview with Mark Sendroff a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, he talked about her.
Mark was talking about her quite often. And for those of you who don't know who Nancy Lamont was, and I'll spell the last name for you, L-A-M-O-T-T, she was a cabaret singer who was pretty much synonymous with the cabaret scene in New York City in the 90s or so.
Yeah.
And just as her career was about to take off, she passed away from cancer in 1995 in her
God
early
damn
40s.
That cancer.
Really, really tragic. And she struggled like crazy to make a name for herself. And she hooked up with David Friedman.
David Friedman,
the great
yes.
David Friedman, who we should get on this show because I would love to talk to him. Thank God she leaves behind so many albums of her work is available, especially on Apple Music. I know you spoke about Spotify a few episodes ago, but Apple Music, for those of you who don't know, it's $9.99 a month. And if you're a student, I think they offer it to you for $5.99 a month. And there is so many great recordings and albums on there. For example, every musical this season is on Apple Music. That just came out, so you can listen to all of it. But so much of Nancy Lamont's work is on there. David Friedman produced a lot of her stuff. She was the first person to do a continuous run at Don't Tell Mama. There is something about her voice. Some of the songs of hers you might know, We Can Be Kind, We Live on Borrowed Time.
Listen to My Heart.
Listen to My Heart is a beautiful one. Her rendition of Moon River is luminous. It cannot compete with anybody else's. She leaves behind a great body of work, but I want all of you to listen to her because there is so much warmth and texture and the way she's able to interpret a song. They say that Frank Sinatra was the greatest interpreter of songs in terms of phrasing and all that stuff. That might be the case for the males. I'd like to nominate Nancy Lamont then for the female best interpreter of a song. She it's so sad, just as she was starting to achieve some success, she passed away. It's on YouTube. The last performance she did was on December 4th. On the Charles Grodin show, she came and sang Moon River, and 2 weeks later, she was gone. What I really love about her, though, and I think you can hear this in the music, is her optimism and her hope. She was so convinced she was going to beat this. She had a fiance, and she said, I want to marry you, and I want to marry you like this. And then a couple of hours before she passed away, like 2 or 3 hours before she passed, they brought in somebody. They got married in her hospital room. And then a few hours later, she passed away. She's been gone now for over 20 years. But the music, the vibrancy, the talent, the energy, the interpretation sounds like it was all recorded yesterday. So if you don't know who Nancy Lamont was, get the albums on Apple Music. Look at her on iTunes. Look at her
on Spotify.
YouTube.
I looked her up on Spotify.
She's on Spotify.
Too, yeah.
She had this.
Are there videos? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh no, are there videos? Yeah,
on YouTube.
Yeah, because one of the things that really helped shoot her to some prominence was she sang for the Clintons because Bill Clinton was president at the time, and that started to boost her up. She was making a lot of talk show appearances. Like I said, she was a favorite of Charles Grodin's, and then 2 weeks after she films a Moon River for Charles Grodin, she passes away. She consistently lived in pain. She consistently lived with illness, but you cannot see that when she performs. Maybe she's channeling the pain in a way that is something that's beyond all of us. So my favorite thing this week is Nancy Lamont, another person I think who should get more appreciation, or younger students I feel should take a look at her. And like I said, I am so late to this party, but I have been making up for it as much as I can because I'm. Oh, she does a beautiful rendition of "Rhode Island Is Famous for You."
I don't know that.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's so sweet. She does. I mean, yes, she does a lot of standards, but the new stuff that she does is great. A lot of the David Friedman work, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So please, Nancy Lamont, her phrasing is genius. Look at it. We'll post clips of her, obviously.
Lovely.
You can hear more about her on the Mark Sendroff interview. Mm-hmm. And like I said, she's been gone now for 22 years. But you feel like it was recorded yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, so mine was Nancy
I'm
Lamont.
I'm so glad we're celebrating her. That's.
Yeah, we're going to celebrate Nancy Lamont. We're going to celebrate Nancy Lamont, and we're going to celebrate Dorothy Fields.
Good, good, good.
Two women who should not be forgotten.
No way.
And
we
should be
won't
reminded.
Let it.
We won't let it happen.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, they persisted.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Kevin, guess what?
What, Rob?
We now have over 50 iTunes reviews.
Huzzah!
Huzzah! Indeed! Oh. We are climbing those iTunes rating charts.
That's amazing. Yeah. How do we climb even higher?
Can you take me high enough? Little Rock of Ages for you.
Did you know I like that you took it up so high too? You didn't even, you like went right to the tenor place.
I was going
to
do
No Robert Goulet.
Like, no. Can you take me high enough?
Thanks for coming out tonight.
Ooh, and my falsetto there.
Thank you.
And a little Sergio Frankie?
Yeah, a little Sergio.
It's never over. Much like the 24-hour buffet down in the lobby of the Dunes Casino. Me and Sid the Caesar. Tonight's only at the Mirage. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Well, lovely listeners, this is where you come in. This is how we're going to climb those iTunes rating charts.
That's right. Lovely listeners, if you love us, would you go to iTunes, click on the iTunes store, search for Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Living Legends.
Then click on Ratings and Reviews. Under the Customer Reviews, click Write a Review. Then let us know what you think from 1 to 5 stars.
That's right. And you can leave comments, too, like Kevin Thomas is a god.
Or, Rob, who the hell is Hervé Villachez?
Who is Hervé
Villachez?
I fell for it again.
You fell for it.
That wasn't even the script.
The man has never done one musical in his entire life, and he gets mentioned more than Stephen
Sondheim. Right, but I love him from James the Bond. Okay, anyway.
Oh, yes.
Guys, help us out.
Please. Thanks, everyone.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.